this evening at the great discourse that we call the Olivet Discourse, and I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel. We're going to be looking at a special portion in Matthew 25, but before we do so, let's just consider a little bit about this discourse. We're thinking about it this morning, but we'll try to put ourselves into the picture. Let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 30. We saw this morning that this is the focal point, if you like, of this great message of the Lord Jesus, this great prophecy that he presented. He said, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." That is the central key point of this great address spoken to the disciples on the Tuesday of Passion Week on the Mount of Olives. It refers to the coming again to the world to reign of the Lord Jesus in power and great glory. This isn't the rapture. The rapture has already taken place. But this is the coming to reign, coming with his people of the Lord Jesus. And we can divide this great discourse into four sections. And I would suggest this for your study. The Lord was answering the questions given by four of the disciples about some of the things that he said, and particularly about his coming and the signs of the coming. First of the question was, when shall it be? And another question was, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And from verse 4 of chapter 24 down to verse 30, I'll get the page, down to verse 35 of that same chapter, we might think of that as the first part of this discourse. It relates to the signs of the coming. The signs of the coming. And there are numerous events that the Lord is indicating will give us a sign that the coming of the Lord is soon. From verse 36, where we read, "Of that day knoweth no man," the Lord answers the question, when? This is the suddenness of his coming. He's coming suddenly. And from there to verse 42, we have the suddenness of his coming. And then from verse 43, the Lord Jesus gives a number of parables, illustrations, that illustrate the influence that the coming should have upon the lives of people in that day, and certainly also upon our lives as we wait for the Lord to come and rapture us to glory. I call this the stimulus of his coming. These are the things that should result from the influence of the Lord's coming upon our lives. And we discover that this stimulus, this influence, should have two main parts. First, it should be, according to verse 42, "Watch therefore." And this section ends in the same vein in verse 13 of chapter 25. "Watch therefore." This should be an influence on our watching for the coming of the Lord. The paragraph that we're going to look at this evening begins at verse 14 of chapter 25, and that would be marked by the word "work," work. For we've been given means to work. We've been given talents, and the Lord has indicated that we should use this talent to serve him. So the stimulus of his coming should be that we should watch and that we should work. And then the final part we're going to look at next Sunday evening in the will of the Lord, beginning at verse 31 of chapter 25. And that gives us the sequel to his coming. When he comes again, he's going to set up the throne of his glory, and he's going to judge the nations or the Gentiles. And we'll look at that in a little more detail next week. So there's the signs of his coming. There's the suddenness of his coming. There's the stimulus of his coming, and there's the sequel to his coming. Now, we're going to look at the section beginning at verse 14, and we're going to read that section now from verse 14 of Matthew 25. "For the kingdom of heaven," the Lord said, "is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him with 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of his holy word. Every Christian has some ability. You have, and I have, and all of us who are involved in the work of the Lord has some ability to serve him. None of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. And we have a responsibility with the ability that him, the Lord himself has given us, to serve him in the fellowship of his people for the glory of his name and for the furtherance of his gospel. That responsibility devolves upon every one of us, and the Lord himself has given us that kind of ability. We may call it a gift, we may call it a talent, but each of us have an ability. There's another thing that's important for every one of us who's serving the Lord. Not only do we have an ability, but we should have availability. Availability. Ability is of little value if we're not available. And in order to place our ability at his disposal, we have to be available for him to use. One of the problems in great Christian service is that those who have ability don't have availability. We have a responsibility to make ourselves available to him. There's still another ability that we should all have, and that is adaptability. In the service to which the Lord calls us, we have to adapt ourselves to different circumstances and situations, to different kinds of people, to different needs that confront us in our service for the Lord. And we have a responsibility not only to use our ability, but to be adaptable, to adapt our lives and our service for that particular work that the Lord has called us to do. But there's one thing that's just as important as any of these. Not only availability, not only ability, not only adaptability, but every one of us has accountability. Accountability. We've read about three men who are accountable. Their master had left, and left them with a responsibility to carry out his work in his absence. But when he came back, he called them to account. We are told, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. In other words, he called them to give an account of how they had used their ability and the ability that he had given them in his service and in his work. And we can be sure that our master, just as this master, who's gone on a long journey, is going to come back. And he's going to call you and me into his presence, and he's going to reckon with us as to how we have used the talent, the means that he has given us in his service. We are accountable to him. Of course, in our lives, we are accountable to many types of individuals. We're accountable to the local church in which we serve the Lord. We're accountable to the people with whom we come in contact daily to present the gospel to them. We're accountable to our families, and we're accountable to one another. But supremely, we're accountable to the Lord. And it's that kind of accountability that we're going to specially think of this evening. Those of you who have read this parable before, probably in many occasions, will recognize that there is another parable very similar. This isn't the only parable of its kind in the New Testament. There may be one or two other ones, but there's one in particular. We call it the parable of the pounds, because while this parable is characterized by the person who goes on a long journey distributing talents to his servants, the other parable that's told by Luke in the 19th chapter of his gospel is characterized by the person who goes on a journey giving a pound to each of his servants. Now, many people think that these are two versions of the same parable. They say, well, the Lord told only one parable like this, and the writers got them a bit mixed up, and they've recorded two when there should only have been one. But if you look carefully at both of these parables, and I suggest that perhaps when you get home tonight, you may look at Luke 19 from verse 11 onwards, and look at that parable, a parable of the pounds, and see if you can discern the differences. Because there are quite a number of differences between these two parables. I'm not going into details about them all. There are many, many similarities, of course, between the two parables. For example, both were spoken by the Lord Jesus on the eve of his death. Secondly, both depict his departure under the heading of another person going into a far country to receive a kingdom or to do some business there and then coming back. They depict the Lord Jesus as going into a far country. And the word far would indicate the distance that he went from earth to heaven. It would indicate the duration of his time away. He's already been 19 centuries and more away. It would indicate the difficulties of the journey. It meant a cross on the way to heaven. All these things come into the far country. And then we are told that he came back again. And on his coming back again, he has a reckoning with each of the servants. That's true of both sides. And he's primarily concerned with the attitudes and responsibilities of these servants in the time of his absence. There is an emphasis on the reckoning that he has with these servants and how he calls them to give an account of what they have done and of the trust that was committed to them. And it also stresses that faithfulness is the important characteristic that their master looks for in their lives. And that, of course, indicates that our Lord is looking for the same characteristics. He wants somebody whom he describes as a good and faithful servant. And finally, they all describe about a reward that the Lord is going to give them. So there are many characteristics. But if you look carefully, you'll discover that there are many differences between these. We're not going to go into detail, but it's evident if we study the circumstances that although they were given approximately the same time, they weren't given at exactly the same time. The parable of the pounds was given before Palm Sunday. We can see that from Luke chapter 19. Whereas the parable of the talents was given on the Tuesday of the next week before the Lord's death on Calvary's cross, between Palm Sunday and his death. And that's clear from our study of the New Testament. Then the audience is different. In the Olivet Discourse, the audience was the disciples. In Luke 19, the audience was the crowd that was following the Lord Jesus and that were expecting that any time he was going to establish his kingdom. The purposes were different. In the parable of the pounds, the Lord told this parable to emphasize that Christ's kingdom was not in Egypt. The parable of the talents had some other purposes in view that we're going to consider. But in particular, the content was different. And we're going to look at just one or two of the facts of the content of these two parables that are different. First of all, it's obvious they were different in the kind of responsibility that was given to the people in both cases. In one case it was talents, in the other case it was pounds. And there's no point in saying, well, that's just a difference of name for the same thing. It's not really at all. There's a vast difference between a pound and a talent. I understand that a pound in those days was the equivalent of 3 months' wages for one man. 3 months' wages for one man. Well, you may say, that's quite a lot of money. Well, in today's terms, it's quite a bit of money. It depends on what he's making, how much money he makes a week. But 3 months' wages compared with the talents is not that much money. For a talent was much more than that. A talent was 15 years' wages. In the case of the pound, every one of those who was received a pound received 3 months' wages. But one who received 5 talents received the wages for 75 years. That would do most people for a lifetime. Not too many survive beyond that time. But 75 years' wages would be included in that man's gift of 5 talents. The one who got 2 talents would have sufficient for 30 years. And the one who dug a hole and put his talent, 1 talent in, received enough wages for 15 years. So you can see there's quite a vast difference between the amount of the talents and the amount of the pounds. But then there's a difference between the way these monies, the talents and the pounds, were handed out. In the story of the pounds, every one of them got the same amount. They all got 1 pound. In the story of the talent, one man got 5, one man got 2, and one man got 1. And we're told exactly the basis on which this difference was made. We are told that when they were received these, they were given to every man, this is verse 15 of the passage we read, to every man according to his several ability. Now, when we think of a talent, we think of a person's ability. Their ability to sing or to speak or whatever, we think of their ability. But when the Lord used the word talent here, he wasn't thinking of their ability. He was thinking behind that of what they had was that the amount was given in accordance with their ability. If they had more ability, then they were given more talents to use that ability. There is a difference, as I'm sure you can see. In the story of the pound, the master was giving that pound to each person to test their faithfulness, to see if they were of the caliber and of the fidelity to be able to be used for him when he came back to set up his kingdom. In the case of the talents, it was given as a part of his possessions that was handed over to each person to serve him, to use for his work and for his work. That was the meaning of the talents and the pounds. Well, let's put that into our own language, into our own circumstances. But I think you can see there's a difference between the pound and the talent. In the case of the pound, everyone received the same amount. One didn't receive 2 pounds, while another received 1 pound. One didn't receive 5, another 2, and the other 1, as the case of the talents. They all received the same amount. And that would indicate something that happens to every one of us. When we come to know Christ as our Savior, he gives us certain things that we share in common with every other Christian. Now think of the things that you share in common. Every one of us has the gospel. It was the message that reached us when we were unsaved. And through it, we trusted the Savior, and we received him as our Savior. We received his salvation. And we all have the gospel. My gospel isn't any more than yours, and your gospel isn't any more than mine. We all have the same gospel. And we all have the same responsibility to use that gospel in telling others the story that reached us and saved us. So we can think of the gospel as one of the pounds that God gives to every one of us. The Lord has distributed the gospel to us all. Or we can think of the Bible. We all have this book. We all have the Word of God. We have it in our own language, as a matter of fact. Oh, I know some of us know more about the Bible than others know about it. But that's because we've been at it longer and we've studied it more carefully. But the Lord has given us the same Bible, or the same book of Genesis and the same book of Revelation, and the same books all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. All of us have been given the same Bible, and therefore we have the same responsibility to read this book, to learn its truths, and to pass it on to other people. Think of something else that we all have in common. The Lord has given to you and to me, not one of us any more than the other, he's given us the privilege of prayer. What a wonderful privilege that is. We all have the privilege of prayer. The youngest child of God in this congregation has the privilege of prayer. The oldest saint has the same privilege. Oh, some of us use it better than others. Some of us use it more than others. But the fact remains that all of us have something in common, like the pound. We have the same thing, the privilege of prayer. Privilege of prayer. I heard Mr. E.W. Rogers, some of you may know Mr. E.W. Rogers. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but he was an outstanding Bible teacher. I heard him speak about this parable many years ago, and in the course of his message, he spoke about this one thing, this 1 pound that each received. He indicated that the word pound is a word that means silver or money, silver. And he indicated that the word silver in the Bible is often used of redemption. In the Old Testament, people were redeemed by pieces of silver. Silver. And so he took the pound as an indication of one redeemed life that every one of us has. And as we put that life at the disposal of the Lord, of the Lord, we're giving to Him our pound, our redeemed life. That perhaps may be the best equivalent of the pound, but I'm sure it includes the gospel and the word of God and prayer and the Holy Spirit, and you can go on and think of other things. But let's think of the talent. The talent. The talent was given on the basis of the person's ability. Remember the words that he used? Every man according to his several ability. So the person who had five talents had more ability to begin with than the person who received two talents. Because he was given these five talents on the basis of his ability. So what could we put in the place of talents? What is there? Well, supposing we have a person who's got a great ability to preach the gospel. Supposing we take Billy Graham, for instance. What an outstanding ability Billy Graham has to preach the gospel. The Lord has given him that ability in the first instance. That's not a talent, that's a spiritual gift that he's been given. But because of that ability, he's given great opportunities and great privileges. If I were to go and preach in some of the places that Billy Graham preaches in, the numbers that came would be a fraction of those that come to hear Billy Graham. Because not only has he the ability, but he has a talent to draw people. Because of his ability, God has given him vast companies of people, and he reaches great audiences for the Lord. And there are people with great ability to teach. And the Lord has given them that primary ability. But as they use that ability to teach, the Lord has given them ability to use it. And ability to teach more and more people. Now we shouldn't be jealous of people who have abilities that we don't have. And we shouldn't be jealous of people who can get crowds when we can only get a few in number to a meeting that we're speaking at. The Lord has given to each of us our ability and our talent to draw people to listen to the Word of God. We should thank the Lord for that. And the Lord is going to enable us to use the gift and the talent that He has given to us for His glory and for His own honor and for the honor of His name. But every one of us has some ability. Even the person who was only given one talent, he had some ability. He was given that talent on the basis of the ability that he had. And you may not think that your ability compares anything with Billy Graham, no more than mine does. But God has given you an ability. It may be an ability to speak to your next door neighbor, or an ability to speak to your friend at work who doesn't know the Savior. Or it may be your ability to pass on some word of teaching from the Word of God that the Lord has enlightened your mind, and He's given you that to pass on to somebody else. Or it may be in some other way the Lord has given you an ability and put you in a place where you can use that. And you have a responsibility to do that and to do it for His glory. And the day is coming when He's going to call each one of us to account. Every one of us is going to appear before Him. And the Lord, at His judgment seat, is going to say to each one of us, "What have you done for me in your service on earth? I gave you a talent. Did you use it?" I trust we won't say what this man said to the Lord or to his master, that we had dug a hole and put it in the ground. And at the end of the day, we'd have nothing else to show for him but a hole in the ground. What a sad thing. At the judgment seat of Christ to say, "I've only got a hole in the ground. Nothing in addition to what you've given me." The Lord expects us to use whatever talent we have, whatever gift He has given to us. He expects us to use it for His glory. It's important to notice, isn't it? I suppose we almost pass it without noticing. that the one who dug the hole in the ground was the one who only received one talent. Only received one talent. Why do you think it was that one? Well, that doesn't mean that it's always the one talent man that digs the hole in the ground. Very often it's the person who has more talents, who doesn't bother to use the talents, but he puts them in a hole in the ground. But the Lord told this story because it happens that people who have the gift, who have been given the talent by the Lord himself, are people who say, well, I've only got one. So-and-so, he's got two, he's got double what I've got. So-and-so, he's got five times as much as I have. He can use it. Let him do what he can with his service. I have only one. It's possible you do it. You're saying that. Some of the Lord's people who think they've been missed out when the gifts were given out don't bother to use what gifts they have, because they feel somebody else can do it better. My friends, the Lord has given us each a gift to use in the sphere where we live and serve. And he has given it because we are the ones that he wants to use that gift. And whatever gift God has given to you, and be sure of this, every one of us has a gift. It may not be public preaching or public teaching, but there is a gift that every one of us has been given, and we have a responsibility to use it. And one day, very soon, we're going to be called before the Lord, the righteous judge. That's what Paul called him when he spoke in his last letter to Timothy about the reward that was awaiting him at that day. And not him only, but to all them that love his appearing. The righteous judge at the judgment seat of Christ is going to call us before his judgment seat. And he's going to reckon with us. And we are going to be accountable. I'm going to suggest to you that since we are accountable, how important it is to begin this day, this week, to reckon our accountability and to be sure that we are doing the service for which we are accountable in a way that will bring honor to the one to whom we give account. May the Lord help us to use all the talents and all the gifts that God has given to us so that we can give a correct account. Let's bow together in prayer. O God, our Father, we thank thee so much that thou hast called us into thy service. What an amazing thing it is that we, who deserve so little, have been given so much. And thou hast called us into the greatest of all services, the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to appreciate the honor thou hast given to us. And help us, we pray thee, to use the gifts that thou hast given to us to further the testimony of our blessed Lord. And if we have failed to use these gifts where thou hast given us to use them, help us to use them this week by the power of the Spirit of God, for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Be with us now as we separate. Help us to be worthy servants. Help us to remember that we are going to give an account. We commit ourselves to thee as we separate. Pray thy continued blessing through the evening and through this week. In the name of the Lord Jesus.